To start from the two dots towards the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, so the Mishnah told us Kayotze Vel Hamolich Peiro Shvias. Again, discussing this theme that we've been discussing already for a little while about, you know, observing the chumras from both places, with the place that you left and the place that you're going to. The Mishnah then transitions into discussing a very, very specific halacha in the realm of Shemitah. There is a halacha that at a certain point during the Shemitah year, you have to remove and get rid of all the fruits from your house that are considered to be Shemitah fruit. Now again, we'll see as we go on what that point of the year is. So the Gemara asks, So again, if you remember back in the Mishnah presented a machlokes about this question. So according to the Tanakhama, according to the Chachamim, it's a very straightforward halacha. So this concept of biur, of removing the Shemitah fruit from your house, basically you have to be machmir in both directions, according to him. So in other words, let's say I live in town A. In town A, all the Shemitah fruit has already been depleted from the fields, and now I have to take everything out and I have to remove it, and then I travel to town B, and town B, there's still stuff growing in the fields, so I have to still be machmir to remove my own fruit because of what happened in town A, and vice versa. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't have to do that. He says as long as there's still fruit growing in the town that you're in, that's good enough. So the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can rely on what's happening in the town that you find yourself now, isn't that against the principle that we developed in the Mishnah, which is that you always have to be machmir in both directions? You have to observe the chumras of both cities. So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Rav Shisha Berei Deravidi Milsa Acharisi Ka Amar Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara adds a little bit of a monkey wrench into the case here, because the Gemara says that the case was as follows. I travel from my own town, from town A. Town A, there's still fruit growing in the field. It's not yet time to remove the fruit from the Shemitah year. I travel to town B. Town B is the same situation. The fruit is still growing. But then, once I get to town B, I hear that back in my original hometown, now all the fruit has been depleted. So now the question is, what do I need to do with my Shemitah fruit? So in other words, at the time that I left, the fruit was still growing in the field, but now it's stopped. So that's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Tanakhama, because the fruit in your hometown has stopped growing, you now have to remove all the Shemitah fruit. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says no, that since there's still fruit growing here in town B, that's good enough, I'm still allowed to rely on that. So the Gemara asks, Lememra de Rabbi Yehuda lekula kamar, v'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer lo amar Rabbi Yehuda ela lechumra. The problem is that we're taking the statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and we're applying it as a kula. We're saying that if you heard that back in your hometown the fruit's been depleted, but now in town B there's still fruit here, I can rely on what's going on in town B. The problem is that Rabbi Eliezer, when he explains Rabbi Yehuda's statement, says that Rabbi Yehuda's statement can only be interpreted as a chumrah and not as a kula. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Ela epoch, eno chayav levaya Rabbi Yehuda omer tseva v'ilecha afata mehicha da'isin uva'a kalulu. You have to reverse the shitas in the Mishnah. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, when you hear that back in your hometown the fruit's been depleted, you do not have to get rid of the fruit anymore, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do. So in other words, it turns out that Rabbi Yehuda really is in fact a chumra in the end of the day. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is really telling us that since the fruit's been depleted back in your hometown, that is reason to require you to remove the Shemitah fruit even though you're in a different town right now. So then the Gemara says, Abai Yomar, Liolam Kidiktani, V'hachi Ka'amar, O Mimakum Shalo Kalu, L'makum Shakalu, V'hechazira L'mekoman, V'adayin Lo Kalu, Eino Chayiv Levayer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzei, V'havi L'chafata, Mehicha Da'isinu, V'hakalu. So now Abaye gives a second answer. Abaye says, no, you don't have to reverse the shittos in the Mishnah. You can keep the shittos the way that they are, but you have to change the case a little bit. The case is not that the guy travels from one town to another, and in both towns there was still fruit, and then by the time he gets to town B, he hears that the fruit has been depleted in town A. That's not the case. The case is that when I left my hometown, when I left town A, there was still fruit there. When I travel to town B, so now in town B, the fruit's already been depleted from the city. So in that case, the Tanakhama is going to tell you, he's going to tell you that eno chayiv levayer, that you don't have to get rid of the fruit. I'm sorry. He says that you have to get rid of the fruit. But Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that you can rely on the fact that the fruit is already. I'm sorry. He says since the fruit's been depleted from this city, so Rabbi Yehuda says that since the fruit's been depleted, you now have to get rid of it. So the Gemara asks maskif la Rav Ashi la Rabbi Yehuda atu agava de chamer kaltinu. So the question is like this: if I'm traveling from one town to another, and then I end up returning back to my hometown, so the question question is that I simply passed through the second town. So the question is, the fact that the Perosh Shmita were sitting on the donkey's back, why is that a reason to say, oh, now I have to be machmir and I have to treat the fruit as if they were in a town where the fruit's been depleted? In other words, if I go from my hometown, I travel to town B, and in town B, all the Perosh Shmita are depleted already, but in my hometown, they're not, and then I just travel back to my hometown, so Reb Yehuda says, in that case, you have to get rid of the fruit. But the question is, why? In other words, if the fruit simply passed through the second town, you didn't stop there, you didn't stay there, you were just there for a little while, why is that reason to now have to require you to get rid of all the Perosh Shmita? So the Gemara says, you're right.
We learned some points that it's really if I intend to sleep in that town that I have to.
That's a different issue. We were speaking about this a little bit yesterday.
So
about
why wouldn't that be the same with its travel?
Right. No, you're right. We were talking about this yesterday when the Gemara was discussing about how Rabba Bar Bar Chana was not planning to move to Bavel. He was just visiting. That's why he didn't have to observe the Chumras. But here, the guy is literally just passing through this other town. So the question is, if the guy is simply passing through the other town, so then the question is, why is that a reason for Rabbi Yehuda to say, okay, now you have to get rid of all the fruit? In other words, it's almost as if the fruit went into the town where all the other fruit was depleted for like 5 minutes. So why is that a reason to now say, okay, now the fruit has the status of this fruit from town B if you're planning to return back to town A in 5 minutes anyway? That's basically the Gemara's question.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Yeah, that's the Gemara's question, yeah. Okay, so what's the answer? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Ravashi, Biflukta Dahani Tanai, Disnan, Hakovi Shlosha Kvashin Bechavis Achas, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Uchlen Al Harishon, Rabbi Hoshua Omer Afal Ha'acharon, Rabban Gamliel Omer Kosha Kolem Mino Men Asada Yevayer Mino Men Achavis V'Halacha Kidvarav. The Gemara cites a Mishnah Maseches Shavias that presents a three-way machlokas about the following case. I have three different types of vegetables that are being pickled or preserved in a barrel, and there are three different vegetables, obviously. And the question becomes is that at what stage in the Shemitah year am I no longer allowed to eat these pickled vegetables? So it's a three-way machlokas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the minute that the first of those three vegetables becomes depleted from the field, I have to stop eating all three of them. Why do I have to stop eating all three? Because it's in a tarovis, it's in a mixture, and since you can't identify what's what, you have to assume that the entire mixture is usher to eat. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, he says as long as there's one of those three fruits are still growing, or vegetables are still growing in the field, that's good enough to allow you to eat all three. Whereas according to Rabbi Gamliel, you have to go on a case-by-case basis. So if the vegetable is growing, you could eat that vegetable. Once that vegetable has stopped growing, then you can no longer eat that particular vegetable. The Gemara says that's how we paskin. So then the Gemara says, Ravina Amar Biflugta Dahani Tana. It's parallel to a different machlokas Tana. I am this nan. Ochlin Bitimarin Achayechle Ha'acharon Shabit Soar. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Ochlin Al Shabina Kipin Vein Ochlin Al Shabina Al Shabin Hashitzin. The Gemara quotes a machlokas about what is the latest time in the Shemitah year during which a person is allowed to eat dates. So according to the Tanakhama, you can eat dates all the way up until the time that the dates in Soar have been depleted, because the assumption is, as we'll see in the Gemara in a little bit, that Soar was the latest time during which the dates, it was the latest region in which dates were growing. And then the Gemara quotes that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so when it comes to determining when the latest point for eating dates are, so we follow the dates that have fallen by the palm trees, by the branches, but not those that have fallen by the thorns. What that basically means is that if the dates are still accessible, if an animal could still theoretically access those dates, then it's still considered to be as if they're growing in the field, and you're still allowed to eat them. But if the dates are scattered in the thorn bushes, which is difficult for an animal to access, so then the assumption is that the dates are no longer accessible, and therefore you have to get rid of them. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, Shalosh Aratzos Labir Yehuda Ve'ever Hayardin Ve'Goliel, the Shalosh Aratzos V'Cholachas V'Yachas, V'Lama Amru Shalosh Aratzos Labir. So the Gemara tells us that there are three regions within Eretz Yisrael when it comes to the halachos of beer. So in other words, if I want to figure out, if I want to ascertain whether a particular fruit or vegetable, whether it's reached its limit in the Shemitah year, now I have to get rid of it. So you have to look at the region in Eretz Yisrael in which you live, either the area of Yehuda, the area of Eiver Hayarden, or the area of the Galil. And then the Gemara says within those regions, there are like sub-regions, there's like subdivisions within those regions also. There's three lands within each of those regions as well. And the Gemara basically says that you follow basically the latest area within your region. So the Gemara says, what does that mean exactly? Menahani milei. Amar Rav Chama bar Ukva, Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina, Amar Kra, Velevehem techa velachaya asher ba'artzecha, kol zman shechaya ocheles min asada ha'achela behima shebabayis, kol alachaya asher basada, kalil levehem techa min abayis, ugemirei, de'in chaya shebihuda gedela al peru shebegalil, ve'in chaya shebegalil gedela al peru Peros Shebi Yehuda. So essentially, the Gemara says that I'm allowed to feed my domesticated animals whatever fruit or vegetable we're dealing with here, as long as those fruit and vegetables are still growing in the field. Once they've stopped growing, once the wild animals no longer have access to those fruits or vegetables, I have to stop feeding them during the Shemitah year to my own animals. And the Gemara points out that we have a tradition that animals don't cross regions when it comes to eating food. So if you have an animal that eats the dates from Yehuda, it's not going to eat the dates on the Galil and vice versa. So you have to follow your own region. So whenever there's a town within your region that's the latest place where the dates are growing, that's when you have to stop having the dates and you have to remove them. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Peros Sheyatsu Me Eretz Yisrael L'chutzel La'aretz Mizbarin B'chol Mekom Shehein, Rav Shimon Ben Eliezer Omer, Yachzeru L'mekoman V'yisbaru Mishum Shenemar Ba'aretz Sechus. So the Gemara presents a machlokas, but what happens if a guy had Peros Shemitah that needed to be destroyed, had to be removed, but then he took them from Eretz Yisrael and brought them into Chutz La'aretz? The question is, does he need to bring the fruit back to Eretz Yisrael to destroy them there, or can he just destroy it where he is right now in Chutz La'aretz? So according to the Tanakhama, he can just destroy it where he is, but according to Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, he has to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, because the pasuk in Parshas Bahar says Ba'artzecha, you have to get rid of them in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ha'apikte, didn't we use that pasuk Ba'artzecha a second ago in the Gemara to teach me this whole concept of subdivisions within Eretz Yisrael? That was the whole idea the Gemara just developed, that there are three major regions of Yehuda, Aver Hayardin, and the Galil. How can the Gemara now turn around and use that same pasuk Ba'artzecha to teach me this other halacha that you have to bring the fruits back to Eretz Yisrael in order to destroy them? So the Gemara says, you're right, Kribe Ba'aretz Ba'artzecha. So the Gemara says, either we can derive the secondary halacha from the fact that the pasuk could have simply said ba'aretz, the fact that it added the extra chaf ba'artzecha, so that extra chaf teaches me the secondary halacha that I have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, or the Gemara says, alternatively, we can derive it from the superfluous word me'asher. Me'asher ba'artzecha teaches me that you have to bring it back into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The Gemara says, Rav Safra nafak me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. Rav Safra one time was...
Why would we think that if you take these foods out of Eretz Yisrael, you have to destroy them, but this wouldn't be something specific to the land.
Well, no, because
I have stuff growing in Lebanon, I don't have to.
No, but if you have peros that grew in Eretz Yisrael, and even if you bring them into, for example, if let's say there's fruit or vegetables from Eretz Yisrael that have been shipped to Chutz La'aretz, if they grew in the Shemitah year, those have Kedusha Shemitah, even though they're physically now in Chutz La'aretz, right? It's about where they grew. So the question is, I had fruit that grew in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered peros Shemitah, but now I bring them outside. The question is, do I need to bring them back in order to remove them, in order to destroy them? That's the issue. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rav Safra nafak me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, hava b'hade garva d'chamer d'shvies, lavu b'hade Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Ika v'Rav Kahana. So the Gemara says that Rav Safra was traveling with this barrel of wine, of Shemitah wine, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Ika and Rav Kahana were accompanying him on his trip. Amar lehu, so he said to them, Ika d'shmiyale minei d'Rabbi Avo, halacha k'rashim and Elazar olo. Has anyone heard whether we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Because again, remember, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, you need to take the Peros Shvias back into Eretz Yisrael to destroy them. He basically wanted to know, am I required to go back into Eretz Yisrael in order to destroy this wine, or can I just destroy it right here? So Amar Le Rav Kahana, Hachi Amar Rabbi Avo, Halach Rav Shimon Elazar. Amar Le Rav Huna Berei Rav Ika, Hachi Amar Rabbi Avo, In Halach Rav Shimon Elazar. So there was a machlukas between the two Talmidim who were traveling with him about whether or not we paskel Rav Shimon Elazar. So the question is, okay, so we know who was right. So Amar Rav Safra, Nekot Haklala De Rav Huna Biyadcha, De Daik VeGamer Shmeitza Mipume De Rabbi Kerachava De Pum Pedisa, De Amar Rachava Rav Yehuda Harabai Stav Kofel Haya Stav Lefnim Yistav. So basically, Rav Safra said the following. He said that they said that I'm placing my faith in Rav Huna's in Rav Huna's interpretation more so than in the interpretation of Rabbi Avo. I'm sorry, of Rav Kahana. Why? Because he says that Rav Huna was known to be accurate and precise in the way in which he transmitted and imparted halacha. And in fact, the Gemara quotes a parallel to this regarding one of the Amoraim whose name was Rachava. Rachava was known throughout Shas to be very, very precise in the way in which he would impart or say over statements he heard from his Rebbe. And the Gemara quotes a famous statement that Rachava cited in the name of his Rebbe, in the name of Rav Yehuda, when he was describing the layout of Har HaBayis. So he uses the term stav lifnim mistav, which literally means a colonnade within a colonnade. So the fact that he used the word stav, which is an unusual word, the usual word for a colonnade is the word itztava. So the fact that he uses this unusual word is a proof that he was very precise in the way in which he transmitted the statements statements of his Rabbeim. So Rav Safra was essentially saying that Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yika, was similar to Rechava in that sense, that he was very, very careful and precise in the way in which he would impart statements from his Rabbeim. And therefore, Rav Safra says, I'm going to place my faith in Rav Huna more so than Rav Kahana. And since Rav Huna said, we don't follow Rishon ben Elazar, I'm going to destroy the wine right here. So the Gemara comments on this. The Gemara says, Kari Alei Rav Yosef, Ami Be'etzo Yeshalu Maklo Yagidlo, Kol Hamikilo Magidlo. So Rav Yosef was kind of almost like poking fun at Rav Safra a little bit. He quotes a pasuk from Hosea, which literally translates to something like, my people seek advice, and the staff or the stick tells them. So Rav Yosef says that because Rav Huna was the Mekel one who told him that he could just destroy the wine right here and not have to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he relied on that. He was almost like poking fun at Rav Safra for relying on this Mekel opinion. Okay, and the Gemara says, Rav Eli cuts kafniyasa deshvias. Rav Eli chopped down a date tree during Shemitah that had these very small dates on them. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Avin Achi, how was he allowed to do that? The Gemara derives from Sukkim and Parshas Bahar that one is only permitted to eat Piro Shemitah, but you're not allowed to destroy them. What right did Rav Eli have to chop down the date tree? So the Gemara says, maybe you'll tell me that halacha that you can't chop down the tree during Shemitah, that's only if the date tree, let's say, has fully developed and the dates are completely considered to be a real fruit. But let's say the dates are just these little tiny dates that are still in the process of developing. Perhaps there's no Isser. The Gemara says, but it's not true. The Gemara tells us that the coverings, the husks of a fruit that are arla, are also usher as the actual fruit itself. Why? Because those husks around the fruit have the stat are considered to be guarding the fruit. V'shomer leferei emas hava b'chufrei. When do those husks become considered to be a shomer, a protection for the fruit? Once the fruit is already starting to bud, even when it's a really, really tiny little fruit, it's still considered to have this protection in the form of the husk. And yet, v'kakari lehu peret. Yeah.
Why do you have to have such a great Imbav Limud on this? Isn't it just a classic case of being Baal Tashvis?
But this is not a Baal Tashvis. This is the opposite, because here during Shemitah, I guess it's also a theoretically a Baal Tashvis issue, but the issue that we're dealing with here is more of a Shemitah issue. We're trying to figure out why Rabbi Eli was justified in cutting down this tree. Again, whether you want to call this Baal Tashvis or not is a separate point. Maybe it's also Baal Tashvis, but that doesn't really interest the Gemara here. We're just trying to figure out from the vantage point of Shemitah, is this Usher Mitzad Shemitah? Again, maybe you can make the same argument by Baal Tashkis, that if something is barely grown, barely developed, maybe it's not called Baal Tashkis when you destroy it. I don't know if that would be correct, but again, the Gemara is really discussing more from a Shemitah angle. So either way, the Gemara says that when the fruit is still at this very small stage, it's a tiny fruit, the Gemara is still referring to it as a fruit. What's the proof for that? Because it's still Usher based on Arla, right? In other words, the Isser of Arla presupposes that you're dealing with the fruit. So the fact that it's usher clearly implies that this is considered a fruit. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman.
The note says he topped it down for wood.
Okay, so that wouldn't be Baal Tashkis. Yeah, that wouldn't be Baal Tashkis. Yeah. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman de Amar ki Rabbi Yosi, this non Rabbi Yosi Omer smadar aser mimneshu pere ufligi rabbanon ale. So the Gemara notes that perhaps Rav Nachman was siding with the Shita of Rabbi Yosi. This happens to be a machlokas in the Mishnah and Arla, where Rabbi Yosi happens to hold that even chopping down, in other words, even using a fruit that's called a smadar is like a little bud, a little fruit that's barely started to grow, barely started to blossom, Rabbi Yosi considers that a fruit for the purposes of Arla, and presumably for the purposes of Shemitah also, but the Rabbanan disagrees. So this is a machloka. So in other words, according to the Rabbanan, there is in fact nothing wrong with chopping down a tree that has these little tiny fruit that are barely growing, or in terms of Arla, but according to Rabbi Yossi, there would in fact be an issue. So the Gemara asks, Maskiflo Rav Simi Mina Harda, Umi Pligi Rabbanan Alei de Rabbi Yossi Bishari Lanos, is that really true that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi when it comes to other types of trees? V'hatanan Me'imasai in Kotzitzen Esha Ilanos Beshvias, the Mishnah in Shemitah asks, in Shvias asks, at what stage, at what point in the Shemitah year is one no longer allowed to chop down trees? So the Mishnah presents a machlokas. According to Beis Shammai, once the fruits start to develop, so at that point the Mishnah says you're no longer allowed to chop down the tree. However, Uvesil Omrim, he says Hacharuvin Mishay Yesharshiru, Vahagifanim Mishay Agriu, Vahazesim Mishay Yonitzu, Ushar Kol Ha'ilanus Mishay Yotziu. So basically, according to Beis Hillel, it varies from tree to tree. So if you have a carob tree, so then it becomes usher to chop down once the carobs start to grow in links. And if you have a grapevine, it becomes usher once the grapes get a little bit bigger. And if you have an olive grove, it becomes usher once they start to bud. And all other trees, the Mishnah says that according to Beis Hillel, they become usher once they start to develop, once they start to grow. V'amar avasi, hu boser, hu girua, hu pol halavan salka daita, chaleima shi'uro kifol halavan. So Rav Asi clarifies that when we're talking about these grapes, in other words, the minimum size that a grape has to be before it becomes usher to chop that down during Shemitah, the Gemara says, is the size of a pol halavan, the size of a white bean. So the Gemara says, Uman shamasle do'amar boser in smadar lo, rabbanan, v'katane sha'ar kol ha'ilanus misha yotziu. So the Gemara says, who was the one, who was the Shita that said that it's a problem to chop down the tree only when it's a boser? A boser is slightly more developed than a smadar. A smadar is when it's still this tiny little bud, it's barely started growing at all. A boser is where it's small, it's still unripe, but it's already beyond the stage of simply budding. So that was the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made this distinction. They said that if it's a boser, if it's already it's unripe, but it's beyond the stage of budding, then you're not allowed to chop it down during Shemitah because it's considered a fruit. If it's merely a smadar, if it's merely just in the stage where it's still budding, then it's not considered a fruit yet. And yet the Mishnah and Shviyas tells us that all other fruits you're not allowed to chop down once they start to develop. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Rabbi Lai, but then it's chanei katz. The Gemara says the reason why Rabbi Lai was justified in chopping down the date tree is because these were stunted dates. These dates were never going to ripen while they were on the tree. They were only going to ripen once they were picked. So because they were never going to ripen anyway, they don't really have the status of fruit in the first place. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbi, yeah. So again, that's the issue, because if you assume that these are not considered fruit, so then it's fine. It's not a problem, right? The issue of working the field during Shemitah, of pruning, of planting, whatever, is assuming that there's some kind of a fruit or some kind of a vegetable coming at the end, right? If you start pruning your apple tree, then that's a problem. But that's exactly the issue in this Gemara. We're trying to figure out what's considered a fruit. That's part of the issue here.
But Nelson Forrest said that chopping down the tree for wood.
Chopping down the tree for wood solves the Baal Tashchis issue. That, because there you could say that it's not Baal Tashchis because I'm using it for a purpose. But in terms of Shemitah, the issue that really matters here is whether it's considered a fruit. That's the bottom line. That's what the Gemara is trying to ascertain, whether this is called a fruit or not. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. Tana Rabbanan, Ochlin ba'anavim ad sheyichlu dolios shel ochel, em yesh me'ucharus me'an ochlin aleyan. So the Gemara tells us that a person can continue to eat grapes during the Shemitah year until the vines from the city of Ochel have become depleted, or if there happens to be a city where the grapes grow even later than the city of Ochel, you can rely on those. Then the Gemara says, "Ochlin bazesim ad sheyichla acharon shebitekoa." Rabbi Eliezer omer ad sheyichla acharon shel gush chalav kedei shehe ani yotzei ve'eno motzi lo benofo v'lo biikaro rova. So again, there's a slight machlokas about which city is the latest for different fruits, for olives. So according to the Tanakhama, it's the city of Tekoa. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the city of gush chalav. And the point is that once the olives have become so depleted to the extent that if a poor person were to go out by the branches or the trunks of the tree and couldn't even find a quarter cob of olives, then you know that the olives have been depleted from the field. Then the Gemara says, "Ochlin begrogros at sheyichlu pagei beis hinei," that you can continue to eat from the figs until the dried figs of the city of Beis Hinei have been depleted. "Am Rabbi Huda lo huskeru pagei beis hinei ela leinyan meiser pagei beis hinei vahinei detoviana chayoven bemeiser." According to Rabbi Huda, that city of Beis Hinei was only mentioned in the context of Meister, that the figs that grow in the city of Beis Hinei and the city of Toviana, those figs are chayav in Meister, but presumably they don't have any sort of ramifications for the purposes of Arla. Okay, let's try to get to the Mishnah, and then we'll finish up. So the Gemara says, "Ochlin b'timara matcheyichlo ha'acharon shebet soar." Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omar ochlin al shobein akipin ve'in ochlin al shobein ashita. So again, this is what we were discussing a little bit earlier, where the Gemara says that you can continue to eat dates until the last dates of soar have been depleted. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you can eat the dates when they're growing by the branch to the palm tree, because the animals can still access them, but when they're growing in the thorn bushes, you can no longer eat them because the animals can no longer access them. So the Gemara asks, "Uremini ochlin ba'anavim ad Pesach, ba'zeisim ad atzeres, ba'grogros ad Chanukah, ba'tamarim ad Purim." V'amar of Bivi Rabbi Yochanan Tarte Basriya Samachlif. So the Gemara quotes the following. Again, there are different there are different stages for different fruits in terms of when the latest point that you can eat them is. So for grapes, it's Pesach. For olives, it's Shavuos. For figs, it's Chanukah. For dates, it's Purim. And then Rav Bivi quoted according to Rabbi Yochanan, he reversed the last two. So he held that that figs was until Purim and dates were until Chanukah. So the Gemara says, aren't these different shiurim than what we were listing in the Gemara earlier? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. The Gemara says, idi v'idi chad shiurim. Maybe you could just suggest that these are the same time frames, just expressed differently. That's one answer. Or the Gemara says, alternatively, we also said earlier that if there are regions where the fruits are growing at a later stage, you can continue eating them until the last fruits have been depleted from the field. Okay, now finally, the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Simin laharim milin, Simin laamakim dekalim, Simin lenechalim kanim, Simin leshfela shikma. Va'afal pisha in rai ladavar zecher ladavar shenemar, Va'yitein ha-melech esakesef birushalayim ka'avanim, Ve'eso arazim nasan keshekmim asher b'shfela larov. The Gemara gives different signs for different areas, different regions, in terms of what's good to grow there. So, for example, when you're in the mountains, having these gallnut trees is considered to be beneficial. If you're in the valleys, then palm trees are beneficial. If you're by a stream, then reeds are considered beneficial. And if you're in a plain, in like a flat land, then sycamore trees are considered to be good. And the Gemara cites a pasuk from Sefer Melachim where Shlomo HaMelech gave all these sycamore trees that were in the plain. Then the Gemara explains Simin lahar and milin simin la'makim dekalim naf kamina lebikurim disnan ein mevien bikurim elam yishiva saminen velomi dekalim shebaharim velomi perush shebaamakim. So the ramification of saying that it's good that the gallnut trees grow in the mountains and that the palm trees grow in the valleys, that has ramifications for bikurim, because the Mishnah in bikurim tells us that you're only supposed to bring for bikurim fruits of higher quality. So if the trees are growing not in those areas, then the fruits that grow on them are not considered to be as of high quality. Then the Gemara says simin lenechalim kalim naf kamina lenachal esam. We said that a sign for a stream is are reeds growing there, so that would have ramifications for the halachos of egla arufa, because we know that if you find a murder victim and you don't know who the murderer is, you have to decapitate the egla arufa. You have to do it in Nachal Isan. Nachal Isan is a stream that's never been worked. So one way that you know that this is considered a stream is if there are reeds growing there. And then finally, the Gemara says simin l'shefela shikma nafkamina lemekachu memkar hashted asis lachi kulunami lemekachu memkar. Basically, the Gemara concludes and says that really you could just suggest that all of these things that we listed about the gallnut trees and about the sycamore trees and all these things could just be much more basic. That the ramification could be for business. So, for example, if I buy a mountain from you, so I'm assuming that there are going to be gallnut trees growing on the mountain. If I buy a valley from you, I'm assuming that there's going to be sycamore trees or whatever, or palm trees growing there. So the Gemara says this could just be a very simple, basic ramification for the purposes of doing business.